What's up, active lifers? Welcome back to the guest show on the Active Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Sean Pastuch. I'm your host. Today's guest is our very own graphic designer at Active Life. Her name is Emily Glenn. And don't worry, if you want, you can hire her too. We'll talk to you about how to do it at the end of the show. I make nothing from it, but I think that you should. She's outstanding. What we talk about on today's show is the complexity of making graphic design look simple. Basically, there's a lot of unconscious incompetence amongst business professionals as it pertains to the way that they appear and the amount of expertise that goes into creating design and logos and aesthetic. And I think that what we talk about today on the show is how to start to recognize areas where you can really pull big levers and make your business much more approachable, much more welcoming, much more luxurious without even changing your services, just by changing the way that you look. Remember, people's first impression is going to be what they see from you. And so it should be good. They should like what they see. And on today's episode, Emily really breaks down simple, inexpensive, high value ways that you can make your business look better and look better more consistently. Remember, if you like the episode, drop us a review. We're having contests. Winners get prizes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, 5 stars, please, and a rave review. And we'll be in contact with you if you're the winner. Let's get it to Emily. We're going to get to the show in a minute. What I want to talk about first is the new Active Life Enhanced Assessment. We've been getting a lot of questions from you about what do I do when it bothers my knee when I squat, but not when I do anything else. And you're not necessarily ready to work with us as a one-on-one client. And we totally understand that. We've gotten hundreds of questions just like the one I just said. My knee hurts when I do this. What should I do about it? And the honest answer is always, it depends. And we need to ask many more questions to give you the best answer. We decided that the best way for us to help you with the thorough answer to those questions is to develop a product, a service that can help you. So we came up with the Active Life Enhanced Assessment. This is a 4-day process in which you go through the similar assessment to what our one-on-one clients go through. You get to talk to one of our staff members about what it is that they found on your assessment, and they will give you instruction on how to overcome the aches and pains that have been plaguing you for a long time without going to the doctor or missing the gym, if it's appropriate for you to do that. So if you're interested in jumping into our Active Life Enhanced Assessment, go ahead, check out the link in the story notes, the show notes, excuse me, and we'll see you there. Emily Glenn, welcome to the guest show on the Active Life Podcast. I'm excited to have you today.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me whenever paths cross in an environment that you would never foresee amounting to anything in the future, and then it becomes something that is really valuable. And you and I first met when you were a vendor at an event that I was running in Manhattan. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I didn't realize that was the first time we met.
Yeah. Well, it might've been one of the beach, but we met at the event. That was where we first met each other.
Yeah.
You were touring the country selling Beastworks apparel. And
I was,
I thought it was really cool. And I didn't know then that you would end up being the graphic designer for Active Life, but I'm happy that you are.
Me too.
So what I think is really important these days, especially as businesses move to a digital world, or at least welcome the digital world into their business, is that they look a certain way to be welcoming, approachable, luxury, and feel valuable to the client. And I think that one of the best ways to do that is by leveraging graphic design skills. And I see so many business owners and coaches who I think are just spending good time after bad skill sets to become marginally effective at building graphic design when they could hire it and invest in the things that really make them money and make them good at what they're good at. And I wanted you to come on today because you do that for us. And I want to hear how you think business owners can do that for themselves.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because when I started my business when I was in the like fitness apparel space, and then sort of branched into creating fitness apparel for other brands, and then started working for different gyms. They would reach out to me and say, can you make me a postcard? Can you make me a graphic? And I ended up just doing more and more. And now my company works with a lot of different clients, but because of where I came from, a lot of my clients are in the fitness industry. And what I'm seeing happen a lot is people in the fitness space go into it with this very humble ambition, you know, just to help people, to make people feel better. That's their goal. And then they want to get that point across, and they're trying to do it, and they're not making any money, and they're trying to figure out how to fix that. And it becomes very like sales pitchy. And that's a problem that I'm seeing a lot, is a lot of people in this industry are going down the route of just trying to sell things instead of focusing on what they do best and just figuring out how to present that to people in the best way possible. And that's the problem that I feel like I'm trying to help people solve. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's the idea that the best sales pitch in the world is to be valuable. And if you want to be valuable, you need to be perceptively valuable. Somebody who's looking at you needs to say, I think they're probably valuable. We call it propriety in business. It's the idea of looking the part. And what you help people do, in my opinion, us especially, is to put the first impression as the best impression, and then to be able to have follow-up impressions be equally good. And so examples of things that we've been able to leverage your skill set for, first and foremost, was recreating our logo from the Running Man back in 2015 to the logo that we're looking at now. When you start thinking about logo design for a company, why do you think having a good logo is important? Why is it not okay to just have your stick figure?
Yeah. So I think it goes back to what I was saying, is I think it really has to speak to what your brand is about and what your goal is, right? So like, if your goal is to help people, to work one-on-one with people, to work in, you know, a big gym space, whatever your first look is needs to say something like that. And I don't think you have to be afraid to change it either. So your old logo was something that made sense 10, 12 years ago, right? And then all of a sudden it didn't really make sense anymore. It was like more animation, and you like a symbol that showed that you were a sophisticated company, and more even like a lifestyle brand. And that's what I think your logo says now. But I think people need to be careful that they're really spending the time to create something that shows what their brand is all about. It's the first thing people are seeing.
Well, and I think that a lot of times people will look at other brands and their logos in the world, and some brands' logos are just their name, and it's just their name in a different font. How is it any different to have a graphic designer build your logo in your font than it would be to go on Microsoft Word and pick your favorite?
I mean, it might not seem that different to a lot of people, you know, people who aren't really like paying attention to this kind of thing, but you want to have an emblem that people see and know that it's your brand. That's the ultimate goal, to be like Nike, to even be like McDonald's, where you're seeing an icon and you're associating it with a brand. That's really hard to do and takes a lot of time, but you want to start in that place where people are seeing something and recognizing who you are, even if it's on a micro scale, even if it's just the people in your community that are saying, oh, I see, you know, these three shades of blue and this like triangle symbol, that's Active Life. That's your intention. And it's pretty difficult for somebody to do that in Microsoft Word. And beyond that, even how you want to use your logo later on, like, do you want to make a big banner? Do you want to put it on apparel? Do you want to embroider it on some hats? Do you want to paint it on your wall? If the answer to any of those questions is yes, then you should be hiring somebody to do it. Because what's happened a lot with clients that come to me is they've created a logo on their own, or they've used some software to make it. And then they realize that they're stuck, that they only have this one version of their logo. It's like a very low resolution. It doesn't fit in a lot of spaces. And I end up either totally recreating it for them, and then they have to backtrack and recreate a lot of pieces that they've made for their business already and do a whole rebranding process. Or I end up making them different variations of their logo. So they're still paying to do these upgrades later down the line anyway.
Well, anybody who comes to me and says, hey, I need to change my logo or I need to up my branding, the first thing I do is connect them to you on email. When somebody is looking to do that, I remember the first time that we did it and you helped us, you ask the kind of questions that seem like California woo-woo to somebody who doesn't understand why you're asking them. And the questions that you were asking were things like, do you want it to feel heavy or do you want it to feel light? Do you want it to be masculine? Do you want it to be feminine? Do you want it to be kind of right down the middle? How do you want your logo to feel when people see it? And I was just like, feel when people, what are you talking about? Like, they're going to see it and they're going to know it's Active Life. What do you mean how it's going to feel? How do those kinds of questions play into design? And how should they answer that first? And my second question, just so you remember it in case I forget it, is how should somebody make decisions about what the answers to them are as it pertains to their brand?
Yeah. So the first thing I do anytime I have a new client is either I hop on a phone call with them and I verbally go through questions like you mentioned, or I send them a survey if they prefer to type those out. And they're about 15 questions and they've changed over time based on the types of things I've realized I need to learn from people. And there are questions about like people's aesthetic, but also about what their clients are like, where they're located, how they envision using them. So I think people should really trust me or another designer, because a lot of designers do something similar to me where they will ask questions. And if they're not, then I would find somebody else probably, because I think it's really important to have that baseline at least to start. And that should really guide the process for you. So I don't think that business owners really need to think about like how they're going to answer those questions. The questions really should be like good enough that they should really steer you in the right direction. I think you can start thinking about really what your like mission statement is for your brand. So that's, I think, what you should be starting with at first, and then deciding all the things that like you really don't like, things that you've seen before and don't speak to you. You know, like you hate yellow, you don't like logos that have script writing in them, you know, things like that, that like you really don't want to see. And then just like how you think you want your logo to function for you.
Why the mission statement first? I'm asking you that because we didn't have ours when you built our logo, and our mission statement is humanize the doctor, professionalize the coach, and empower the individual. That's our mission statement. How does our logo say that?
I mean, it's not going to say all of that, but you want to make sure that it's not saying that. Do you know what I mean? Like if I made you something, like I think your old logo did not say that.
Right.
Your old logo was something about, it was like, you know, a guy that was, there's a guy running. It was articulated muscles and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
And it was all about like the individual getting healthier, doing something fitness related. That's what that logo said. So that wouldn't have worked. But what your logo is right now, which is why I feel like it resonated for you, because you knew in the back of your brain like what you wanted to do. I mean, it's like very like angular. It's like pointing in like a forward, upward direction. I mean, it's there's no like crazy symbolism to it, but it's showing you, it's not disagreeing with your mission statement.
I think
that's what I'd say.
So I'm going to tell you my interpretation of that and why I think it works. I think that you did a tremendous job of recognizing that we wanted something that was strong, that was bold, that could stand on its own and say, I'm important. And while we didn't have our mission statement formulated yet, the mission was bold and was important and needed to be able to stand on its own. So we knew the identity, but we didn't know the words to describe the identity. And so the logo needed to be one that allowed us to describe ourselves with an image. And that doesn't mean that if you just gave us a dainty scripted logo, we couldn't be the company that we are today. But I think that if someone listening to this can envision just all lowercase script active life as compared to what our logo is right now, and then you think about what we aim to do in the world, I think that that script lowercase comes across as less ambitious in that direction. That's just my thought.
Yeah. Something else that we talked about a lot in your logo was we talked about like a hierarchy, and we talked a lot about like pyramids, which is why we ended up with that triangular shape. And that definitely goes back to your mission statement, like building upon something.
Well, it does. I mean, the what you drew, I don't know if you remember it in full detail, but what you drew for us was the triangle with the line that went through it into infinity. And the idea of that was that everything that's below the line is where we want people to recognize there is a value to the doctor. There's a value to the healthcare practitioner being seen there. And everything above the line is to recognize that there's a value to the coach, and that all of that needs to be considered in order for the individual to get serviced and to get the outcomes that they want. And when we break it down, the bottom of the pyramid for us is flexibility. So there's hands-on work that might need to get done there. We don't want coaches doing that. We want doctors doing that. Then there's mobility, which is where they start to kind of divide and split and share the load. And then there's strength, which is more to the coach and less to the doctor, but the doctor still gets some. Then there's skill, which is not a doctorate level, and work recovery, which they share. So it does cover that in a metaphoric way, which for us is really valuable. So, okay. Other things that you've done for us besides logos, because I think that too many people stop at logo design and they're like, I have a logo.
That's really your first thing, you know, figure out what you want to do. You don't, if you don't have like a full fledged mission statement, that's fine, but you should have an idea of what the purpose is of your business, what you're trying to do. Then you want the general visual identity of it, which is your logo and the colors and the fonts that you're using. But there is a lot past that. So what I do now for people when I create logos for them is explain all the other things that I can do and I think that they should be doing, which is, you know, their website, their social media, specifically Instagram and Facebook. And then if they want to move forward, they can. Anything that they're printing and giving to people, any PDFs that they're emailing people, and with just all of your email signatures, which was even further, you know, making sure that the emails that you're sending to people, those are even standard across the board. So there's consistency throughout your entire brand.
I need an email signature.
You have one.
I just wrote it up. I have the logo in it.
I'll email it to you when we hang up.
Thanks. Okay. One of the things that I think really sets us apart as a company that really, I mean, we're not a big company. You know, people think that I get messages all the time. Like, what was it like when you made your first $10 million a year? And I'm like, I'll let you know. But I think that we come across as bigger than we actually are because of the way that you help us look. And one of the ways that you do that I think is valuable, that I think everybody should invest in, whether it's with you or somebody else, is any PDF that we send out to anybody appears as though it has existed forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's, wow, this is a part of their company lore. Like, they've always had these PDFs. And can you speak to kind of some of the collaboration that we've had in developing some of those? Most recently, the one that we did with another company, for example.
What was like to create like a marketing piece for a specific brand.
Yeah.
I think if you're trying to, sell something to another organization, it's always a step above if you can put some of their branding into that piece. I think it really shows them that you really care about this, that you've put in some extra effort and some time into your proposal. So if you're sending them some sort of pitch deck, if you're sending them information about what you can potentially offer, and you include their logo and their colors in there, that's just even more reason for them to say yes. So we've just started doing that recently. I think we've done that for maybe two or three different companies at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested how that has been taken from the people that you've sent them to, if you've gotten like a positive response to those.
You know, we've gotten a positive response in that we've had ongoing meetings with them thereafter.
Yeah.
What I want to be able to do is avoid having the conversations about the job that we did and say like, oh, did you like the PDF, by the way? Wasn't it cool that your logo was on it?
Oh yeah, of course. No.
But I think,
but just based on your perception of like their responses versus like, you know, previous pitches that you've done when we haven't
it's a game changer, because I think that what happens is, I think that the other organization is able to recognize that this person is not looking for our money. They're looking for us to win. They've considered us in this document before we paid them anything. Just to me, it's this, right? It's if they're getting pitched by 10 different companies to work with them and only one puts their logo on everything that they pitch to them, you stand out. And any opportunity that you can create to stand out, I think is worth doing. And so what that means to me is you have a gym, you have a coaching business, and your members are receiving emails from you with PDFs in them. You could either share a Google Doc and slap your logo on it, or you could have somebody design something for you that has them say, wow, this person's really professional. I just think the latter is going to go a long way and have a legitimate ROI.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I've been on the customer end of it too. I've been members of gyms, and I've gotten those emails before. And I can tell you from my perspective too, when I get something that's put together more thoughtfully and has consistent branding, my response to it is very different than when I just receive like an email from somebody that I'm like BCC'd on. That is like not as compelling to me as a branded piece that's being sent to me.
Well, it feels like a frivolous spend to the business owner who's trying to be frugal, who is saying like, it's just like, who cares? It doesn't affect the way that my members work out. Like, no one's going to join the gym because I have branded PDFs. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I think people will. I think that anytime that somebody wants to make a referral, for example, what are they supposed to show somebody? Right. What are they going to give someone? Is it going to be something where they're like, oh, did your seventh grader do that in Google Docs or what? No, it should be something that's professional. That's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like minimal things that businesses and specifically gym owners should have. And that's a high quality logo that functions in all the ways they could possibly need it. A functioning website. I mean, those are like the two things. And then beyond that, I think that social media after that also is top three.
Yeah. I think that,
and then if you want to go beyond that, you have the money to spend and you can find it, then I think that that is great and definitely warranted. But those three things to start have to be there.
And I want to share with people how they can leverage social media through graphic design in ways that maybe they haven't considered.
Yeah.
I think people will listen to this and be like, wait, so I'm going to pay a graphic designer for every post? What about when I'm like sitting on my couch and I just want to make a post? Well, first of all, you shouldn't be sitting on your couch and making a post. There should be a plan to it. But there are things that, correct me if I'm mistaken, graphic design can help you do, like build templates and then say, go into this app and all you need to do is change the words on these and change the images. And you have a template that is going to be branded that when somebody sees it, they recognize that's your company.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think like in an ideal world, you have somebody that you're working with to curate what your social media looks like. Like, think about it as this like beautiful photo album, like your like wedding photo album, right? It's supposed to be like showing the highlights of a space and getting a message across. There are graphics that are created to fit in that space. You're using your stories, you're making reels, you're doing all sorts of things to engage your community, because that's how people are seeing you when they're not physically in your space. So ideally you're working with a company or an individual to really curate that, to make it work specifically for your brand. If that's not in the cards for you, like you're just starting your business, you don't have the capital to do that. And by the way, I don't think that needs to be incredibly expensive either, but if you're not ready to do that, I think that you can have a designer work with you to create, like you said, templates of things that you can consistently use the same font and the same colors to put some messaging over that. Then you can use the same type of like filters or effects to like create your photos that like look kind of similar. You can have a photographer come in and take some pictures of your gym. I just see a lot of content out there that's not exciting and engaging. And it kind of feels like, what's the point of putting that out there? Like, I don't really know what it is. Like, is it just because like the person that's in the picture might be happy that like their picture is on there? Is that like, is that the goal of posting that picture? Like, I see a lot of stuff out there with just like blurry people moving around.
You're giving people a lot of credit, and that's very kind of you. I think that a lot of the posts that are out there are made because somebody thinks they're supposed to post.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have anything to post. I guess I'll just put this up, talk about it. And I chose this because it was the best thing I had. And that's, I mean, I don't know if people realize this, but one of the reasons why Steve Jobs started Apple is he took a calligraphy class. And he started looking at regular font on regular computers. And he's like, this is ugly. Why can't it be better? And he started to make things better at Apple. That's graphic design. That's the power of the way that something looks. I mean, how many people listening to this show right now chose their significant other, if they have one, or significant other they had in the past, and did not take into consideration at all what they looked like?
Yep.
I think the likelihood is
not any.
Very, very few. Those of you who are true altruists out there maybe did.
That sounds nice.
it sounds sweet. Can't relate. But so, I mean, I don't think, let me go back. Graphic design to me is not a, if you think it's valuable, it's, you need to have it. The degree with which you need to have it, debatable, right? And that's where you start to level out. How do you decide with a client how much graphic design they should use? Because even with us, there are things that we don't do that we could do. You know, you're not formatting some things for us that we could use you for. You're not in every single post. You're not running the account for us. Where does that go?
I think it really depends on who is already doing stuff. I look at what the account looks like already. You already have a photographer in-house. Right, that makes sense for your brand, and you know it really well, and you're very attached to it. So I would never say like, hey, let me write the copy for you. That wouldn't make sense in your case. I think where you were struggling the most is creating anything that's graphic. You know, like I had pointed out to you a few months, like, hey, your logo that's stretched out on these graphics that you're making, I noticed that because I created your logo and knew that it like looked a little funky to me. And those types of things are just difficult for people who aren't in that industry to do. So what I said to you is I think that I should be the one that's making anything that requires design, that requires typesetting, that requires infographics, that requires any sort of like graphs, anything where you need actual design work in there, that's something that I should be doing. And then you have a pretty good handle on when you should be posting, how often you should be posting, what the copy should be. And so I wouldn't say like, hey, I should really take that over for you. But that's not really the case with a lot of people. So other people that I work with, whether it's in fitness or not, I write the copy for them. I do the posting for them because I also know how to run the analytics and see when they should be posting and how they should be engaging with people. So I think it really just depends on what the business is already doing and who's doing it and how well they're doing it.
So you gave a good answer that leads me to so many different avenues I can ask questions to. If anybody thinks that graphic design is just a simple choose a text, choose a color, move forward, I would advise you to go into the search bar of Instagram and type in graphic design and start looking at all the things that are considered like weight and size and centering and angles and all of that. And it's, I'm bastardizing, I'm minimizing what the real work there is. It's huge. And so much of it, I imagine, for you, because of how long you've been doing this, comes fairly naturally. And you know, it's natural because you did it so many times. It's automatic.
Yeah.
So
correct.
So in saying that, if somebody is sitting there right now and they're like, all right, I want to hire a graphic designer because I want to build new branding for our brand, what should they know the answer to before they reach out to somebody? Like, what are the things that they need to know baseline before they start talking to anybody about it?
I think that it's a good idea for them to have an idea of the types of things that they would like to have but haven't been able to do themselves. I think most business owners are like, oh, I really want to make those like cool story graphics, or I want to post something informational on my like main feed. There are things that they're coming up against that they're not really able to figure out on their own. So figure out what those things are, like what are the roadblocks for you so far, and figure out what your budget is to do some of those things. And then also be open to somebody else's critique of what you're doing. You know, like I can look at a business's feed and decide, these are the things that, like, if I were running this account, this is what I would be adding into this. These are the things that I would change. Just be open to that feedback.
What's the most common thing that you see like that you would change?
Most common thing that I would change. I think it's, for me, it's about like, we're still talking about just like Instagram, Facebook, that type of thing, correct?
Sure.
I think the selection of images. So like what people are choosing to put up there and with like what intention and like how it all looks together. I don't think that you need to have some like, you know, you mean you look on like an influencer's feed and it's like beautiful thing that like flows from one image to the next. It's all like the same colors. I don't think that you need to be like that. That even feels like a bit dishonest to me. It feels like a little too curated. I think it needs to still feel honest, but I think there needs to be some care into what you're putting out there. And it goes back to what we were talking about a half an hour ago about your mission. Are your images coming back to that? Are they still saying the same thing that you've been saying about your business since the beginning? And I think most of the time it's not. It's just that people are posting because that's what they're supposed to be doing. They think like, well, I'm supposed to be posting every day, so like, let me snap this picture of this person on a rower and just write like rowing into Wednesday and call it a day. Like, I just think that it needs to be a little bit more thoughtful.
I agree with you. And there's a lot of psychology that goes into graphic design, I imagine. Is that something that you consider, or is it something that just kind of happens from it?
Yeah, I mean, there is for sure. I mean, it's, I'm not like into it all that deep, but I mean, even something as simple as like, you get more engagement if you ask a question in your feed. That's psychology. You ask somebody something and they feel like they should answer you and they comment back, and that boosts your engagement and more people see what you're doing. And that's the goal, right? To have more people see what you're doing. So yeah, like little things like that go into it.
I heard a quote about graphic design that for me was really, it was interesting. It made me stop and I remember it without having written it down. And I'm curious your take on it.
Sure.
It is, and this to me speaks to the mistake that so many people make in avoiding the cost of it and thinking that it's a liability rather than an asset. The quote was, "The most amazing thing about graphic design is that it is extremely simple, which is what makes it so complicated."
Yeah, for sure.
What does that mean? To me, what that means is, I'm sorry, I cut you off. I should have said it before I asked you what it means to you. To me, what that means is it's really difficult to take something extremely complex and make it extremely simple. And that's a complicated process to go through so that the person who is viewing it on the other side has a very simple and easy experience. It's complicated to achieve that. That's what that meant to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think your logo is like a prime example of that. It's pretty simple. There's nothing like crazy about it. But if you look at like our brand guidelines and like how things have been measured out and like spaced, there's definitely complicated aspects of it. And there is a lot of thought that went behind it. And I think that that's why it's consistently worked for you since we created the mark. Mm-hmm. That it works well because we put a lot of thought into something that is pretty simple. Like it's a shape that exists. It's just like lines and colors and shape that is all pretty simple, but the thought that went behind it is more complicated.
Yeah. And I wish that there was a way that we could take everybody who listens to this and everybody who they talk to and just implant in their head the idea that if everything that they did looked better, their business would be better. Because there's an expectation. You know, it's one of my friends, Adi Kashu, talks about what she calls the success funnel. And the idea of the success funnel is when you're first starting, like whatever, you don't need graphic design if you don't really want it. No one's going to not come because you don't have it, but people might come if you did.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in the beginning, you can make a bunch of mistakes and nobody cares. The expectations are fairly low. The pricing is probably fairly low. And early on, the level of professionalism that you need to have is low. But as you get closer and closer to the kind of success that you want to have, there are things that get spit out of your culture, right? That your culture will no longer allow for. And for us, one of those examples right now would be, we can't look homemade. It would be inappropriate for somebody to assume we can present professional level quality education to coaches with a homemade logo. Like, why aren't you taking yourself seriously, Active Life? And I think that graphic design is one of the things that is pivotal in moving somebody down the success funnel. And the amount that they leverage it moves them even further. And so, for example, I'll give you another one and then we can talk about this. I just did a live podcast. I was in front of a few hundred mm-hmm. people talking to a host who allowed the people on the podcast to ask me questions. I intentionally centered myself in front of our hashtag turn pro metal black on a white wall phrase that you designed for us, that you spaced for us, that you sized for us, because it's, well, how wide do you want the letters to be? How tall should all that kind of stuff. I believe that the impact of that compared to the background I have right now, for example, is profound.
Yep.
I would love for you to speak to just the way that the way that that kind of thing can make it where, okay, well, you took this step, you're not allowed to go backwards anymore.
I think about it like, I always think about it how I am as a customer. Like, yes, there are 100% businesses that I go to that are not doing any marketing, they have no design. Like, yes, it is possible for sure. Like, there's a deli down the street that I order from and I saw it in person the other day and it has like a neon sign in front, it's next to a laundromat. Like, I don't really care. They have delicious food. Like, I'll still go there. But for the most part, like out of the fitness world, I went and got my hair done the other day and I can go somewhere that's like pretty cheap. Maybe they do a good job, but they like don't really look all that cute. But the place that I went to, I go because I found them on social media. Other people are like tagging them in the work that they do. They have a really cute logo. They look like fun and funky. Everything is like consistent when I look at them. And that for me inspires trust. And if I'm going to spend $150 to go and get my hair done in a pandemic, like I'm going to go to the place that looks trustworthy to me, that looks like I'm getting the most for my money, that I'm getting like this experience, that they like have it together, that I'm not going to be waiting forever. They're not going to do a bad job. And I think the reason that I get that vibe from them is because of how they look online, on their website, on Instagram and Facebook, the types of pictures that they're posting and how they're interacting with people. So I think it, I mean, it crosses all businesses, but I always go back to how I feel as a customer. And I think about the businesses that I frequent and the ones that I trust. And it's consistently the ones that have this look to them, that are, they're consistent, that they know what they are, and they keep putting that forward.
And I think that that's not unique to you as a graphic designer. I say that because if you imagine going to a high-end restaurant and looking at your plate, it's designed. They've taken an effort to, first of all, restaurants have notoriously low margins on their product because of how much money they spend in making their product look good. That's it. Yep. Like they don't need to put $1 million of design into the building to make the food taste good, but they put $1 million of design into the building so that you believe your food is going to taste good when it comes out. And
it's funny because I would say my like two biggest clients are people in the fitness industry and people in the food industry. Those are my like two big genres that I'm working with.
Well, because you're affecting the way that somebody else feels.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, if I'm going to take somebody to a local restaurant, like there's a place in our town that I happen to love. It's called Lost and Found. There's another one, the same owner, is called Lost at Sea. And intentionally, they make it hard to find them. Like, I mean, I'm talking, there is no sign outside the restaurant. And Alexis, if you're listening to this, I think you're doing a good job. He's the owner. But that is by design. You know, and when you take somebody there, you have to tell the story. Why isn't there a sign? This is so weird. Well, yeah, well, let me explain to you why. You know, the idea is that they want it to be a place that locals always know that they can go to, that people who are visiting from out of town can find out about, but that locals can always get in. And despite the fact that it's expensive, there's always a wait. If you don't create a reservation, you're going to eat at 9:30 at night, or you're not going to get in for 2, 3, 4 weeks, right? Like that's the story that they create by not putting a big sign out in front that says we're here.
Yep.
That's interesting. If you just don't put a sign out and then you offer the same thing everybody else offers, you're lazy.
Yep.
That's, to me, that's all design. It's all intentional. And that's the kind of thing that I think that people need to be thinking about when they run any business, brick and mortar or online.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to what we've been saying in the beginning, is you need to figure out your mission or your story. What are you trying to do? And then make sure everything is consistent with that. So this guy is trying to create like mystique, something that's like secretive that you need to know about. You're like in the cool club if you know about it. That's his goal from the beginning. So those are the choices that he's made to make that happen. And that's what I think everybody needs to be doing, is just decide what your mission is, decide what you want to do. And instead of like trying to sell random things to try to make a little bit more money, really spend the money on trying to make that mission clearer to people.
Agreed. So I know just enough about graphic design to know how to ask the questions that I've already asked you. Is there anything that you believe is important for our listeners to be able to learn about that I wouldn't even know to ask you about?
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking a lot about how, when people come to me, they have like different perceptions of what I do and like how much it'll cost and what it's going to look like. And there's a range. You can go on Fiverr or Design Pickle or any of these companies where they're giving you like one person that'll help you, or you're just like hiring a freelancer, and there's value to that. And then on the other end of this spectrum, there's these big companies, big marketing companies, big agencies that have huge teams that are charging tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. That's on the other end. And I'm somewhere in the middle. And what I think is really valuable about what people like me do is create personal relationships with people. I really know my clients. And I think that that's something important for people to know, that it's important to go to another small business to help your small business. That if you're looking for that type of relationship, it's going to be hard to find with a freelancer that you find on Fiverr or something like that. That I think it's important to find somebody like me who knows about growing a small business, and not to assume that you need to either just like hire people for these one-off things, or hire some online company to have like some sort of service, or you need to spend tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars. That there is this like in-between area of these other small businesses that are looking to help you grow.
Well, I think the real value that you create for us, besides obviously the artwork that you provide, and I don't know what you're talking about. You know, Emily costs us $1 million a month. She's not available. She can only do work for us.
That's not like my like sales pitch me specifically. I have people come to me a lot who are like, you know, I can't afford to have like a big agency. And I'm like, well, there's something else. Maybe one day I will be a huge agency and you won't be able to get me. I don't know. But there will be another one of me that's here that's good to help. And I just want people to know that that's a thing that's out there, that there are people.
Well, I think the mistake
who can work closely with you.
I think the mistake that people would make is to have somebody who's artistic on their team do the artwork. And just like it'd be a bad idea to have somebody who has a camera and likes using it do your photography. It's the subtle differences that the professional can create that really set you apart. And I think that that's neglected when you don't know what you don't know. And I'm telling you now so that you know that you don't know it anymore. Hire a professional. Now, the biggest value that I believe that you bring to us as a mid-size company, as you would describe it, you know, the one in the middle, is that when we need something, I can text or email Emily. And Emily knows me, and Emily knows Active Life, and Emily understands Active Life and what we're trying to do as a company. And so what you're going to create for us is going to be brand on. It's going to be mission on. It's going to be message on. It's never going to be offensive. And it's probably not going to be right the first time that it comes through, but it's going to be really, really, really close to right and better than I imagined it would be. The only reason why it would be not right is because now that you've shown me something that I didn't know, I'm like, oh, what if we change that just a little bit? Perfect. I love that. And I don't think that you get that when you go to a freelancer who's new every single time.
Yeah.
And so I do think there's value in sites like Fiverr for the purpose of...
I mean, I personally, even through my business, I use companies like that. Like when I don't have time to do something or something that I'm not good at, I hire a freelancer. Totally get utilizing people like that. But if your goal is to grow your small or medium-sized business and have a consistent look, I think having a consistent person that gets to know your business is really important.
I agree. And I was going to say the only reason why I would ever use Fiverr is to find that person. It would be like a job board for me. So Emily, if somebody who's listening to this does want to work with you, how do they find and start working with you? How do they contact you?
I have a website. It's epgdesigns.com. And I also have an Instagram at epgdesigns, or you can email me and it's emily@epgdesigns.com. So all pretty consistent.
Consistency. That's graphic. that's I don't know if that's graphic design, but it works.
I mean, it is definitely part of like the marketing side for sure. Yes. Consistency in your brand.
Emily, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Active Life Podcast. If you did, please be sure to head to wherever you listened to it and give us a quality review, as well as 5 stars if you can spare them. If you want more from us, feel free to follow all of our social media accounts at Active Life Professional, Active Life RX, and Dr. Sean Pastuch on Instagram. Remember, at Active Life, we believe that the healthcare clinic of the future is the gym, and the healthcare provider of the future is the coach. We also believe that future is now.